So, as Nick said, today we're doing the sixth in our series, Surprised by Jesus. And we're going to be thinking today particularly about God's love for the outcast. But we're also thinking about famous people. Now, when we're on holiday, we did a much more sensible, sedate thing that, you know, middle-aged people do. We went to a National Trust property. And, you know, we went to Blickling Hall. It was lovely. And we met a famous person. Well, we didn't really meet him, but we saw him. So Ainsley Harriet, those of you that are probably, you know, over the age of 30 might know Ainsley, famous chef, he was there because he was going to be filming over 3 days, Ready, Steady, Cook. And it was really exciting. There was a bit of a buzz around, and they were setting up this outside kitchen for him, and the National Trust people were trying to encourage people to come back for the next few days to be part of the cooking experience. We only stayed the one day. But so that's somebody famous, okay? And I was trying to think, who is the only other, who are perhaps the famous people that I have met? And I meant to bring my autograph book. Now, again, those people that probably my generation may have had an autograph book, because in there I have an autograph from Patrick Moore, you know, the astronomer from the sky at night. Again, you know, it's going right over the head of the young people here. But so those are a couple of famous people that I have met. I wonder which famous people, any famous people that you have met, perhaps just call them out. Nick's going to write. One at a time. So Nick's writing, because even though I'm a teacher, my handwriting is shocking. But he'll work on the spelling. Is that all right? Okay. It's amazing, is it, that lots of us have had the opportunity just to meet in person at a glance, perhaps, or perhaps shake their hand or have a brief conversation with some famous people. And today, we're going to be hearing about a famous person who met with lots of people. And of course, we're thinking about Jesus, aren't we? And I'm going to read from the Gospel of Luke. So that's the third book in the New Testament. So our Bible, perhaps those of you who perhaps haven't been coming to church very long, our Bible is split into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to need a little bit of audience participation here. So we're going to be thinking about the very famous story of Zacchaeus, boo, who was the tax collector, and his encounter with the famous person Jesus.
Nobody likes to be ignored, do they? Well, I don't like being ignored. How about you? Perhaps there are times in your life when you are ignored, especially when you perhaps, when you're a bit younger, maybe a teenager or a child, and sometimes you might, and even as an adult, you might think, I remember when I was a kid and I would really desperate to say something to some of my parents, but they ignored me. There's a story, isn't there, about a dad who's reading a paper and the daughter says, look, can you watch me? Can you do what, see what I'm doing? And he goes, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear. And the dad's still reading the paper. And the next thing, she pulls down the paper and says, look, I only know you're listening to me when you're looking at me. And actually, I have that with Sharon. But we do, don't we? We feel we're ignored. And actually, as a parent, I've done that. I said, yes, 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 I'm listening. Being ignored is not very nice. And here, Zacchaeus was ignored by lots of people. The whole town, in fact, disliked him because he was a tax collector. And they ignored him because he was not worth them knowing him, because he was a traitor. He worked for the opposition, the Romans, those who had taken control of the land. Yet, people ignored him, but Jesus didn't. Maybe some of us feel a bit like we're ignored, maybe in our workplace. Maybe we feel we're looked over. Maybe as a young person, we think, well, actually, in school, I'm looked over. Well, why didn't somebody ask me that question? Because I could get that one. We've talked about famous people. And lots of people. It's like, oh, I must see. I must see. I don't know if you saw. Because it's amazing how Facebook works, isn't it? We were in Norfolk for the last 2 weeks. And if I went onto Facebook, it would start giving me stuff to do with the Norfolk area. And you're thinking, how does it do that? How does it know that's... But it does. And this is the scary thing about technology, actually. They're very good at finding out where you are. But on this, one of the feeds was, Robbie Williams is performing at Sandringham. In case you didn't know. But that's where he's got a couple of concerts this weekend there. And interestingly, he flew into Norwich Airport, and there's a photo on Facebook of this lady smiling like this next to Robin Williams, because he's gone, I've met somebody. And, you know, this is what it's like, isn't it? People go, oh, yeah, I met Rick Stein, or I met this person or that person. Nobody's put me down. But you've all met me. Nobody's put Jill down. But we've all met Jill. This morning, we want to reveal that actually God is interested in all of us. He's not just selective. He said, actually, the famous, I want to be with the famous. I want to be with the popular people. Jesus was not like that. And so often in our world, it's about being, if you're popular, you're in the in crowd. Especially at school, especially at secondary school. That's very much it. I can tell you now, at school, secondary school, I was not in the in crowd. I was not. So, I at one time tried to fit into the in crowd by getting a flat top. For those who don't know what that is, it was a haircut that you had, a bit like what Nathan's wearing now, actually, sort of thing. No, that's fine. See, Nathan's looks really tasteful, looks nice. But mine was, I had a grade one all the way round, and then there was meant to be then a section of hair along the top that went like that, and it's called a flat top. However, my mum booked me into her hairdresser, which was a lady's hairdresser. And I don't quite know whether they knew what a flat top was or not. But they did. So they did really short, but then they did really short on the top as well, and it just looked awful. And I got into, and this is the only time in secondary school that I cried. Ah, oh, I got into, because you know they do that. You know, Jill, yes. Sharon, yes. Nick or Nicholas. I was like, oh, cramps. Yes, and he's like, because I looked awful. But I was trying to fit in. We all try to fit in. And as an adult, we get used to that. We get to say, actually, no, I can cope with being who I am. But as the younger generation, especially the teenagers, it is about actually just fitting in. Because they don't want to stand out. They don't want to be the odd one out. So it's really hard. But Jesus, I can say to everyone here, he made sure you fitted in. We're going to pick up a bit more in a second. In this next section, we're going to be having a game which involves, if we're able to move about, moving about. What I've given, well, we should have been given, hopefully, maybe not everybody's got it, some coins. Ian and Jackie were giving out coins at the door. We're going to be becoming a very generous church. We'll be giving money away as people come in. And what we want to do, if you've not got any, don't panic. Because what we're going to do to start off with is, we are going to walk round. So if you're upstairs, you can walk about upstairs, or you can walk downstairs. We're going to be walking around, and I want you to take money from other people. Okay? And if somebody takes it, you don't fight people. You have to allow them to take it. Okay, is that understood? So you take money from people. So get up and walk around. If somebody takes, you can only take a couple of coins. You can't take the whole handful. Right. Okay, so the reason we've done that, I did that game, I used to do it when I was a youth worker. It's a good game. I don't know whether you felt better for the first time or the second time. Obviously, the noise level goes up, I think, when you are giving it away. When you start giving something away, you know, there's a lot more laughter in that section than the taking's a bit more like, oh no, I'm just going to... I think Josh had the, he was just going around, I'm not giving it, I'm just putting my hand there and people are putting money in. This is great. I don't mind doing that. Wasn't so much giving it, but the idea is that it's, we can, if we start taking it, actually it becomes quite, it's aggressive and it's not, even this is a game, so you knew, but it's still not quite the same as actually giving it away. When we give it away, it's so much nicer. Do you think? Yes. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's what we see here in the story of Zacchaeus. We see that this man goes from being somebody who was hated by the town because he was taking money. In fact, he was taking more than he should have done. He was cheating people out of money. And that's why when Jesus came into town and everybody was standing in the roads, nobody was going to let him through because they hated him. He goes, why are we going to help you? You don't help us. In fact, you belittle us. You take us down. We're not interested in you. No matter what he did, he was trying to get in. He wasn't going to get there, so he had to climb a tree. He was desperate to see Jesus. And as I put in the notice sheet, what he did surprised the whole town. All those people that were around looking would have been so surprised. See, hang on a second. Actually, Jesus walking, he stops and says, hey, you, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house. One, that shows us that Jesus knew who he was. People didn't walk around with stickers on. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house. I'm interested in you. And actually, Jesus was going to be the guest. He wasn't saying, I'm going to come to you. No, you come to my house. He said, I'm coming to yours. I want to come and be in your house. I want to eat with you. I want you to be the one that's serving. Jesus took the of a lower person. He was a guest. And everybody else thought, that's just disgusting. How dare you do that? And actually, in today's society, there are times when we perhaps are like that. How dare that person go to that person's house? Does they know what that person does? And it happens in church, doesn't it? We can be a bit like that sometimes. Say, oh, dearie me, does Nick know what that person does? I think I need to go and talk to them. I think Nick needs to know a few things. Jesus was not like that. Jesus was, actually, I'm interested in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus needs to know. And actually, he was transformed, wasn't he? He said, look, actually, the money that I've given, I want to repay four times as much. Now, I have no idea, we don't know at the end whether Zacchaeus becomes bankrupt or what happens, or whether he obviously had money himself anyway, but he was able to give away so much. Now, whether he then stopped being a tax collector, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. Jesus showed in this account that he was interested and cared deeply for people like Zacchaeus. Those people that perhaps others regard as being outcasts. We know that, don't we? We see that in other stories, the fact that Jesus spoke and touched the lepers. The fact that earlier on, I think we did, Paul did, Jesus and the children. Jesus was full of surprises. And therefore, if he was, so should we be. We need to be people of surprises. We need to surprise our neighbours. We need to surprise our work colleagues. We need to surprise the council. We need to be doing things that surprise this town. Because if we do, it's going to cause people to question, well, why are they doing that? Do you know what? We could be doing a lot of things that would surprise our town. The fact that we did last Christmas, we opened up and we're a warm hub. Surprising our town. We're saying, look, we're willing to reopen. Now, we didn't get lots of people coming in. He's hoovering. That's fine. But Jesus did that. And actually, we need to be like that too. How often do you make the effort and talk to those perhaps you think, oh, When we were in Hemel Hempstead, which was a few churches ago, I was a youth worker there, and I think we were going out. Well, we might have been married. We were married nearer the end, yeah. But there was a guy who came to church who was homeless. Okay? And he stank. Okay, there was no, he did. Because he didn't, but he sat in the pews, and there was a lovely couple. I've forgotten their name. But they sat right next to him. And they chatted with him, and they invited him to their home. That is what Jesus would be doing. Challenges me. It should challenge each one of us. Do we take the extra mark? How many of you invite other, you know, simple thing, how many of you here have invited other people from the church that you may not know yet to your house for a meal? How many of you have said, oh, actually, I'd like to invite that family to come to my house? Or, oh, I think that, I want to get that couple to come to my house. Now, over COVID, it really got quite tight, so we couldn't have to do it. But the problem is now we're getting back into it. Are we doing it? We need to be a church that's hospitable. You know, there is nothing like sharing a meal with people. Getting to know people over a meal. So, let's think about that. There are people in our community, maybe in your workplace, you think, actually, I'm going to get to know that person there. Because it seems to me that they don't know many people. I'm going to make the effort. Because who knows, by making the effort, you might surprise them that someone's interested in them. And in not doing that, maybe they might come to discover who Jesus is. Because Jesus is the most vital thing. Potentially, Zacchaeus would have then been the person talking to his other tax collector friends about this encounter with Jesus. Each of us is called to share Jesus with others. And one of the things that we do as a church is we show Alpha. We run Alpha. And there are people sitting in this church today that have joined us through coming to Alpha. So we got an advert for Alpha because we'll be running it in September. Paul's put an advert together, so we're going to watch that because I want to encourage you. I know there are one or two in the church who are looking to come, but we want to see if we can get others to come as well. It's going to be happening late September. We're going to have a youth one, hopefully, that Nathan's going to be running. We're going to have an adult, an evening one. And then we're going to have a daytime one as well running, which is going to be targeted for people with toddlers. So we're looking to run. So we've got an advert. Hopefully Andy's going to get that up. Let's just watch this, because this hopefully will inspire us.
So what is the meaning of life? Is this it? Is the Bible really true? Well, this year's Alpha course starts on Thursday the 21st of September. So if you want answers to some of life's most challenging questions, then please consider joining us on this year's course. Or perhaps there's someone that you'd like to invite. Please prayerfully consider asking them along. The course is run over 10 weeks, which includes a weekend, and is absolutely free. Oh, and there's free food too. Just email if you're interested or you know of somebody who might be. It'll be eye-opening and very enlightening. Just watch this space.